This episode of the A Girl in Progress podcast is brought to you by the Bundle Co. Self-Improvement Bundle. Think of it kind of like the Netflix of self-development, with 75 different e-courses from leading experts at your fingertips to help you level up physically, mentally, spiritually, romantically, emotionally, and financially in 2021. Whether you want to get stronger in the gym, take the next step in your career, feel more confident in your own body, set yourself up for financial freedom or improve your love life, you'll find a complete guide by someone who's forged the path before you. Individually, each of these courses would set you back hundreds of dollars, and together they add up to over $13,000. But with the bundle, you'll only pay $75.90. That's less than the cost of a grocery shop and a savings of over 99%. Seriously, if you only make one investment in yourself in 2021, I highly recommend you make it this one. The only catch? It's available for 1 week only, so you need to get in quick. Head to the link in show notes or girlinprogress.com/bundle to grab yours today. Welcome to A Girl in Progress, the self-development podcast for millennial women working on themselves for themselves. We believe it's possible to strive to become the best version of yourself, while also accepting yourself exactly as you are. Whether it's giving you a glimpse into the daily routines of inspiring women or sharing the stories of those who started before they felt ready, this podcast is all about encouraging you to take imperfect action towards your goals and find productivity and success on your own terms. As for me, I'm your host, Emma Norris. I'm a journalist, author, cheese enthusiast, imperfect action coach, and the founder of agirlinprogress.com. Let's get into the episode. Hello and welcome back to the A Girl in Progress podcast. And it's kind of a bittersweet episode today because it is the very last episode of 2020. So I'll be taking a bit of a hiatus until most likely January, and then I'll be back refreshed and ready to bring you some more goodness on all things goal setting, productivity, overcoming perfectionism, just in time for the new year. So as 2020 comes to a close, and as of this podcast coming out, there's just under a month still left of December, I thought it was fitting to share some of my learnings from this chaotic year. So like many people, my 2020 has been very tumultuous, very up and down. On a personal level, plenty of great things happened. My book, Progress Over Perfection, came out. I had some great opportunities come through that. I started coaching. I've started uni doing postgrad psychology. But at the same time, it's been extremely challenging. So as some of you will know, here in Australia, 2020 started with horrible bushfires. And just when we thought things couldn't get any worse, a global pandemic hit. And I won't pretend that I've been as badly personally affected as many other people. I know I'm very privileged to be safe, healthy, and have an income, but I've also had plenty of personal struggles. So I had big travel plans for 2020, which I'd been looking forward to forever, which were obviously put on hold. And that gave me a real sense of restlessness and hopelessness. I was also made redundant, went through lots of ups and downs work-wise, and at certain times really struggled with my mental health. So it's been a very eye-opening year, for better or for worse, and it's taught me a lot about myself and the world around me. So that's why today I'm going to be sharing the 20 biggest lessons that 2020 has taught me. Some in life, some in business, some are short and snappy, and some I'll delve a little bit more into, but I hope there's some lessons you'll be able to take away from them and apply in your own life. So let's jump into it. Number one is you can't control everything. So I'm someone who's extremely future-oriented. There's nothing I love more than setting goals and planning out my dream life. And for 2020, travel was a huge part of that. But this year really tested my control freak tendencies and showed me that no matter how well you plan or try to sway the outcome of things, there really are some things out of your control and you really do need to stay flexible in order to deal with that. Lesson number two is my work doesn't define my worth. So as I mentioned, my work has chopped and changed a lot this year. At the start of it, or I guess until like mid-year, I was deputy editor at a magazine, and some people thought that was really cool and I guess treated me like a somebody because of it. But when I was made redundant, because the whole company kind of shut down, that was stripped away from me. And at first that was kind of strange to get used to, but I came to realize that my true self, who I am at my core, my title doesn't affect that. Nothing external affects that. But that's what the most important people in my life care about, who I am as a person, not what I do for a living. Lesson number three is, it's the small moments that make up a big life. So with spending a lot more time at home and not being able to travel, it's really forced me to slow down and enjoy the small moments more, whether it's sitting on the balcony with my partner, having a coffee on a sunny day, or even just that feeling of being more fresh and clean after a shower. When your world gets smaller, it does force you to show gratitude for the small things. But as I realize, it's not just appreciating the small things while you're waiting for life to happen or things to go back to quote unquote normal. Those small things are what life is all about, and they're actually going to be what you're going to look back on and remember when you come to the end of your life. Lesson number four is that reaching your goals won't change who you are as a person. So when I was younger, I had this fantastical idea that being a published author would be so glamorous, and I'd become like this cool, flawless, fully realized version of myself. But of course, that's not what actually happened. I didn't suddenly metamorphosis into like the Kate Blanchett of the writing world. I was the same kind of dorky, awkward, hot mess that I've always been, but just with my name on the front of a book. And as absolutely incredible as experience has been and how many doors it's opened, it hasn't changed who I am or how I feel inside, which is why I'm such a big believer in the importance of working to accept yourself exactly as you are, while also simultaneously working towards your goals at the same time. Lesson number five is that the best type of pants are the ones with a stretchy, elastic waistband, and I won't hear otherwise. Pretty self-explanatory, that one. Lesson number six is that it's never too early or too late to change your path. So as some of you might know, I started my career in journalism. I studied media and communication at uni and worked really hard over the last 10 years or so to carve out a career in the publishing world. And as much as I've absolutely loved it and will always write in some capacity or another, I've developed a real love for self-development and psychology and helping women pursue progress over perfection. So I went through my life coach training at the Beautiful You Life Coaching Academy, and now that I finished that, I've started doing a postgrad degree in psychology. And I've definitely had thoughts at times like, oh, you can't do this for a living. You're a writer, that's what you've been trained in, and that's all you can do. But with the media industry changing, I've seen so many people finding a passion in other things and pivoting, like my good friend Lauren Irvin, who's a journalist who's transitioned into being a personal trainer. And you can listen to her story back in episode 30. But seeing all these amazing people switching careers and absolutely thriving has reminded me that your career is never set in stone, and you can always change, no matter how late or early you think it is. So research actually shows the average person changes career 5 to 7 times in their lifetime. So you could really change it up every 10 years or so if you wanted to. Lesson number seven is that I am not my thoughts. So this may sound kind of obvious, but it's been a really life-changing revelation for me. So while I've always understood this on an intellectual level, it was really only when I started working with my amazing life coach, Beatrice from the Self-Love Fix, that it really clicked that I am not my thoughts and they don't define me. They're just a neurological process that happens in my brain when certain neurons fire. And Beatrice used a really great example of the roommate to help me understand it, which I believe is from the book The Untethered Soul. But it's basically the idea that there are, two people in the brain. There's the observer, which is you, observing the thoughts, and then there's the roommate, who has a tendency to whinge, complain, ramble, and sometimes just flat out lie. And you don't have to actually agree with the roommate's never-ending monologue. You can just acknowledge it exists. And this absolutely blew my mind, because for the first time I realized I don't actually have to believe or agree with or act on my thoughts. And this kind of ties into some really interesting things about consciousness that I've been learning in my psych degree, which I'm really looking forward to sharing more with you about next year. Lesson number eight is you never know who's watching what you're doing. And I realize this sounds kind of creepy, but I just mean that if you're putting content out into the world, you never know who's reading or listening or watching your stuff religiously and being really inspired by it. I've had a few people reach out to me and say, oh, I read every blog post of yours, or yours is my favorite newsletter and I read every one. And just because they're quietly watching from the sidelines, I had no idea. But your biggest fans aren't always the loudest, so keep creating, because you never know who you're impacting and making a real difference in the life of. Number nine is, it's okay to cry, but it may give you a headache. So I'm a huge crier. I cry when I'm sad, I cry when I'm happy, I cry when I'm frustrated, and sometimes I even cry when I'm hungry or tired. And I used to be so ashamed of that, like it made me weak or something. But this year, I've done my fair share of crying, and I've come to realize it doesn't have to actually mean anything about me. It can be just a natural emotional reaction, like laughing. And sometimes it's actually a really amazing emotional release. That said, I have extremely vascular eyes, as my eyelash technician told me. And if I cry, they get really swollen and I have a headache the next day that feels like I just did 10 vodka shots. So I've learned that I really need to pick my battles as to what's worth crying over. Lesson number 10 is that mindset actually matters in business. So of course, I've always believed that mindset matters when it comes to things like self-esteem and confidence and acceptance. But even though I've always heard that people say that mindset is an important thing when it comes to business and money and sales, I never really believed it. I thought it was all about skills and strategy. It was only when I launched my first course this year, Procrastinator to Action Taker, that I realized just how important mindset is. If you're burnt out or feeling lackluster or just like really not feeling it, people can tell and be put off by that energy. So it's really important to make sure you're in the right state of mind and genuinely believe in yourself and your product as you go into a launch. And as for how you do that, I worked with the business coach, Erin May Henry, this year, and she had some amazing advice around this. And it was, what if it was fun? Like, what if you made selling and social media and showing up for your business fun and not so serious? And approaching things this way just makes things feel a lot more effortless. Lesson number 11 is that New Girl is actually an amazing and hilarious show, and I was wrong for ever thinking it was just a cheesy sitcom with a cringy lead character. I've been watching it a lot this year, and yeah, I've got to give it to them. It is actually as good as people say. Lesson number 12 is that boundaries are a two-way street. So we all know boundaries are important in relationships, at work, in business, but it's not just a matter of telling people in your life, this is my boundary and you must respect it. You really have to be the one to enforce your own boundaries too and be accountable to yourself. If you say you're not going to speak to that person at certain hours of the night or take on any more work, you really need to be prepared to step in and hold both yourself and the other person to that. And it goes without saying that you need to respect their boundaries too. Lesson number 13 is that we're all co-creating every interaction. I'm not 100% sure where I heard this, but it's been really eye-opening for me and has really changed how I show up in the world. I'm going to be honest and say I can become quite passive-aggressive and defensive when I feel threatened or someone is being rude to me, but I heard someone say that when you have an interaction with someone, you're putting energy out into the world. So if they say something and it comes off as rude, but they weren't actually trying to be rude, but you come back and say something passive aggressive back, the tone of the conversation is now negative and you've co-created that. When you could have turned it around by just being nice and friendly back in the first place, which would serve you both a lot better. Lesson number 14 is just like all dogs are cute, all humans are beautiful. So there's been some points in the year that I've struggled with my body image, probably down to being at home more and on my phone more and exercising less and eating worse. But I had this realization that we wouldn't think a dog or even a baby is less worthy of anything just because they're a bit chubbier or thinner or have weirder teeth than some of the other dogs. We, or at least I, think they're all amazing and would never think one is better than the other just because they look a certain way. So why can't the same apply to humans? Just something to think about. Lesson number 15 is that everyone's experience of the world is so different. So in psychology, we learn about the concept of qualia, which is the subjective conscious experience we all have. The redness of red or the wetness of water is different to all of us. So you can only imagine how different our experience or regulations of a situation might be. Something to keep in mind next time you're having an argument with someone and you're like, but why can't you just see it my way? You're wrong. Number 16 is that saying no to things can make space for the hell yeses. I'm a bit of a people pleaser naturally and tend to just say yes to work opportunities just because I think, oh yeah, that seems reasonable enough. It's easier than saying no, or I could really use the money. But it's often resulted in me overloading myself, getting burnt out and not feeling like I'm doing my best work, or just working on things that aren't really aligned. But this year I've gotten a lot better at saying no to things that aren't the right fit, and I've found that often a better and more aligned opportunity is just around the corner. Number 17 is that accountability is everything when it comes to sticking to habits long term. So like many people, I have lots of positive habits that I've tried to instill over the years, whether it's meditation or staying off distracting websites or eating healthy. And also like most people, I've done it for a few days or weeks and then fallen off the bandwagon. So research shows it takes about 66 days for a new habit to become as automatic as, say, cleaning your teeth. And I would say that's pretty spot on because I've been using the app Boss as a Service for around that long, which is where they check in with you every day to see how you went with your habits and tasks. And I can now confidently say that meditation is now just something I do automatically every day, and I feel weird if I don't do it. So consistency is really what makes habit a habit, but there's really no substitute for accountability when it comes to helping you stick to it long enough for it to become a habit. Number 18 is that you can't get too attached to the outcome of your goals. So this one really ties into point one. You can't control everything. But I've really had to teach myself to detach myself from really arbitrary outcomes that I've attached to my goals. Like, I want to save this exact amount or get this amount of followers, and instead focus on the transformation it creates. It's great to have quantitative goals, but sometimes life does get in the way. So it's important to create goals that focus on the action you're going to take, i.e. I'm going to pitch myself to appear on this podcast, versus I'm going to appear on this podcast next week. Focus on things that are inside your circle of control. Number 19 is criticism is a natural part of creating. So something I didn't think about when I wrote a book is that people would review it. And while many of the reviews are lovely and amazing, not all of them are. I've had people complain that my book isn't highbrow enough, or it's too millennial or juvenile. And I have to be honest, I'm a sensitive person and it hurt at first. But I've come to realize that their experience of my book is framed through their life experience and biases. And it's a review or criticism of the book, the thing I've created, not who I am as a person. Number 20 is that everyone has to start somewhere. This year, I've almost felt like going back to my teenage or early 20s again, because not only am I back at uni, but I'm also on my learner's license learning to drive at 28, which is kind of a long story. And at times I felt embarrassed of where I'm at, or frustrated or impatient, but it's reminded me of the importance of having a beginner's mindset and being humble and willing to learn and admit that you don't know anything yet. It really gets you a long way. So that's it, my 20 biggest learnings of this crazy, crazy year. I know there's a lot of them, so I'm going to leave a list of them in the show notes for you if you want to revisit them. And with that, I hope you all have an amazing, safe, and happy holidays. And I can't wait to be back and kicking goals with you all in the next year. See you in 2021. Thanks for listening to the A Girl in Progress podcast. If you like what you heard, make sure you hit subscribe and leave us a review. You can also check us out over on agirlinprogress.com, the online destination for women working on themselves for themselves. Or get social with us on Instagram at _girlinprogress. Can't wait to see you there.